welcome to worship from the West Highland Peninsula Churches. Whoever you are and wherever you are, you're very welcome. This summer, we've had the joy of meeting some of our online congregation when they've been in the area on holiday. And if you're ever up here on holiday or for any other reason, please do feel free to come and join us in one of our churches for a service. You'll find details on the web. Today, we're going to think a wee bit about patience. Be patient. Now, some of us are probably naturally more patient than others. And different things may make us impatient. Perhaps waiting for the rain to stop so you can get out and do something in the garden. Or being stuck in slow-moving traffic when you're in a hurry. Or up here, the internet going down time and time again when you're trying to do something. And of course, for children, it may be being impatient for the school holidays to come, or Christmas, or a birthday. However patient we may be, God is far more patient. He's been patient with us during our lives, and he's been patient with his people over the centuries and over the millennia. And we'll hear a bit more about that later. And I'll call to worship some words from the second letter of Peter. The Lord is not being slow, as some of you think. Instead, he's being patient with you, not wanting anyone to be lost, but everyone to turn from their sins. So let us worship God.
Father God, we are made in your image, and each one of us is unique and individual, no two of us the same. Thank you for each and every person. Your intention was and is for us to be a family, to live in relationship with each other, living a life of loving service and nurturing each generation. Lord, we confess that humanity has failed to live up to your intention. We have divided humanity into separate families, each one often divided within itself. We confess that it's often easier to give up on a relationship than it is to work at reconciliation. Forgive us, Lord. May we seek to be reconciled with you and with our siblings, both at home and abroad. Help us to commit to the work of building strong relationships in our communities and ensuring equality and justice for all your children. Amen.
Reading from Genesis chapter 29 and from verse 15. Laban said to Jacob, "You shouldn't work for me for nothing just because you are my relative. How much pay do you want?" Laban had two daughters. The elder was named Leah and the younger Rachel. Leah had lovely eyes, but Rachel was shapely and beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel, so he said, "I will work for 7 years for you if you will let me marry Rachel." Laban answered, "I would rather give her to you than to anyone else. Stay here with me." Jacob worked 7 years so that he could have Rachel, and the time seemed like only a few days to him because he loved her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "The time is up. Let me marry your daughter." So Laban gave a wedding feast and invited everyone. But that night, instead of Rachel, he took Leah to Jacob, and Jacob had intercourse with her. Laban gave his slave woman, Zilpah, to his daughter Leah as her maid. Not until the next morning did Jacob discover that it was Leah. He went to Laban and said, "Why did you do this to me? I worked to get Rachel. Why have you tricked me?" Laban answered, "It is not the custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the elder. Wait until the week's marriage celebrations are over, and I will give you Rachel if you will work for me another 7 years." Jacob agreed, and when the week of marriage celebrations was over, Laban gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, and reading from verse 10. "By the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, I appeal to all of you, my brothers and sisters, to agree in what you say, so that there will be no divisions among you. Be completely united with only one thought and one purpose. For some people from Chloe's family have told me quite plainly, my friends, that there are quarrels among you. Let me put it this way. Each of you says something different. One says, 'I follow Paul.' Another, 'I follow Apollos.' Another, 'I follow Peter.' And another, 'I follow Christ.' Christ has been divided into groups. Was it Paul who died on the cross for you? Were you baptized as Paul's disciples? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. No one can say then that you were baptized as my disciples. Oh yes, I also baptized Stephanas and his family, but I can't remember whether I baptized anyone else. Christ did not send me to baptize. He sent me to tell the good news, and to tell it without using the language of human wisdom, in order to make sure that Christ's death on the cross is not robbed of its power. For the message about Christ's death on the cross is nonsense to those who are being lost, but for us who are being saved, it is God's power. Amen."
The Old Testament passage from Genesis that we've just heard is set around 1600 or 1700 years BC. It's part of the story of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the founding fathers of the people of Israel. Traditionally, Abraham was the father of Isaac, who was the father of Jacob. They were people who had a special relationship with God. God made a covenant with them, a covenant that promised God's faithful commitment to this special relationship with them and with their descendants. of whom there would be many, as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore, and a promise of their own land as an everlasting possession. These ancestral stories would have been passed on orally for centuries before being written down much later. When we hear a short snippet like today's reading, we may wonder why so much trouble was taken to preserve details of a domestic episode of trickery, preserve them and hand them on for millennia. I wonder how many instances of deceit within marriages or within families you've heard of in the last 4 years, let alone how many there have been in the last 4,000 years. We need to look at the context of these few verses, to look at the larger story. The patriarchs were both faithful and fallible. They were human beings. Throughout, God remained faithful and patiently worked through the situations to mould the individuals into becoming the people they were created to be. Jacob may have been on the receiving end of deceit in today's reading, but he practiced deceit himself in no small way. He had tricked his brother Esau, the firstborn, into relinquishing his birthright for a bowl of stew. Okay, Esau was somewhat stupid in agreeing to this. Jacob then pretended to be Esau, impersonated Esau, deceiving his father, whose eyesight was failing, in order that he, Jacob, might receive the blessing his father intended to bestow on his firstborn son, a blessing that should have been Esau's. It was after this, for his own safety, in order to escape Esau's wrath, Jacob had to flee and went to Haran, the place where he met Rachel and Laban. There seems to have been an immediate attraction between Jacob and Rachel. At first, Laban seems to be honest and reasonable, saying that he should pay Jacob for the work he's doing. Jacob's wish to marry Rachel was so strong that he offered to work 7 years in exchange for being able to marry her. And then the tables were turned on him. The deceiver becomes the deceived. On the wedding night, Laban substituted Leah for Rachel. Jacob, who had deceived his own father by impersonating Esau, his brother, is deceived by Leah being substituted for, impersonating Rachel, her sister. The deceiving impersonator is deceived himself by an impersonation. Jacob, who deceived his own father, is deceived by another father. Jacob, who ignored the right of Esau, the firstborn, is made to accept the right of Leah, the firstborn, her right to be married before her younger sister. Jacob certainly reaped as he had sown. Further deceit, both from Laban and Jacob, would follow before Jacob eventually returned to his own home. Now, although the Bible records that on Jacob's journey to Haran, God had spoken to him through a vision, reiterating the promise he'd made to Abraham, we hear no mention of God from Jacob during his years with Laban. No praise. No thanksgiving for meeting Rachel, no plea for help, no mention of listening to God or seeking guidance. Nothing until his leaving, Jacob had a lot to learn, and some of it he had to learn the hard way. And yet it was Jacob who fathered the 12 sons, whose descendants became the 12 tribes of Israel. Indeed, later, God changed Jacob's name to Israel. And it was Leah who was the mother of 6 of those sons, including Judah, into whose family line, whose tribe, Jesus would be born. So after a difficult beginning, Leah was truly blessed. Rachel was the mother of the 2 youngest sons, Joseph and Benjamin, and servants were the mothers of the other 4. God worked with and through people and situations 4,000 years ago, patiently and mercifully, shaping and moulding, getting people back on track to become the people that they were created to be. And God continued to do so patiently for century after century. Nearly 2,000 years later, he sent his son, Jesus, to continue this work. Work that was still very much needed. God's chosen people were still going off track, straying from God's ways. Even those who were closest to Jesus during his earthly life, his disciples, got things wrong. They expected an earthly military victory and offered to use force. They argued about which one of them was the greatest. They also were both faithful but fallible human beings. And as we heard in the reading from Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, even after the resurrection, even after the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, human fallibility was still evident among Jesus' followers, amongst the early church. There were quarrels between and within congregations. I follow Paul. I follow Apollos. I follow Cephas. I follow Christ. These weren't just general conversations about whose study group they were in. These were serious divisions and arguments. Apparently of the, my leader's better than yours, we've got it right type. Paul strongly reminded them that they were called to be perfectly united, that Christ was not divided. 2,000 years later, has much changed? The church is still divided. We still come across attitudes that our way, our denomination is right. Our way is better than yours. Yes, we are still very much a work in progress, trying to be faithful, but very fallible. And God is still patiently and lovingly working to get us on track and keep us on track so that we become the people we were created to be, moulded into the shape of Jesus, his Son. We have our part to play in this work. We must not be complacent. But let us be ever thankful to God, listening to him, and learning from him, accepting where we need to change. And let us show something of his immeasurable love and patience to others, healing, not causing, divisions. Amen.
Living God, made known to us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we give thanks for the life you have given each one of us. We are each uniquely created in your image, and we thank you for the diversity of human life. We thank you for the opportunities to meet and learn from people with backgrounds, views, and beliefs that are different from ours. Forgive us when we dismiss people because they seem to be different and challenge our own view of the world. Forgive us when we act in resentment or impatience, when people do not behave as we expect them to. Through your Holy Spirit, give us the wisdom to know ourselves and our frailties, and the understanding to prevent ourselves taking our disappointments out on others. Help us, Father, to see the people around us as you would see them, as precious and loved. Help us to put aside any excuses that we might use to ignore injustice and oppression wherever we see it. Give us strength and courage to stand alongside people who are marginalised for whatever reason. Help us to make the world a safer and fairer place for all people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.
We come to our offering. We think about all that God gives us, and we think about our response to this, what we can offer, our time, our talents, our resources, our money. We bring our offerings to God. Lord, we bring you only what is yours, loving, patient God, that you may use our offering and ourselves for the building up of your kingdom and the glory of your name. Amen. And we draw our prayers together in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen.
What friend we have in Jesus?
Lord, let us go from here, knowing that you are alongside us, ever loving, ever patient, ever merciful. Strengthen us to be loving, patient, and merciful with the situations and with the people that we encounter. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us, with all whom we love, and with all God's children everywhere, today and forevermore. Amen.
Shine upon you.